Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. It's 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Today is the 9th of April 2015 and you're tuned to Asia Stream on Radio Sai. And dear listeners, we are coming to you live from Radio Sai's Prashanti Digital Studios in Prashanti Nilayam, India. Current weather conditions in the abode of Supreme Peace are seasonally warm, minimum temperature 26, maximum 39 degrees Celsius. General outlook for the day, a mix of sun and cloud. The forecast for the next 2 days calls for some rain and considerable drop in temperatures. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, your all-day live connection to Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna, and on behalf of the entire Radio Sai team, I offer myself at the lotus feet of the Lord of the Universe, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Apart from being a personal God, Bhagwan Baba is also the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. As we move closer to the Aradhana Day, that is April 24th, Morning Glory starts to celebrate the glory and the sheer pure sweetness of the Sri Satya Sai avatar through the experiences of my colleague, Mr. C.G. Sai Prakash. Brother C.G. Sai Prakash has studied here in Puttaparthi from grade 1 all the way to his master's degree, and after a wait of 6 months, he was interviewed by guess who? Bhagwan himself, for what? Well, it turned out to be his job at Radio Sai. Bred here, educated here, employed here at the lotus feet of divinity, Brother C.G. Sai Prakash's life revolves around Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, his divine love for his students, Bhagwan's grace and compassion, his kindness, his divinity. C.G. and Sai, as in his name, so in his life, are inseparable. Last week, we all experienced such bliss, even though vicariously, as Brother C.G. Sai Prakash relived his blissful years as Baba's student. We will continue that wonderful session with C.G., sharing his experiences on today's show. But before we go there, last week, he shared with us that rare experience of being part of that orchestra that played for the Lord on the flight from Delhi to Bangalore. As promised, I'm going to play a sampling of C.G.'s sitar recital for the Lord, airborne 30,000 feet above ground, and also a sample of the other musical offerings made on that special flight. So, dear brothers and sisters, let's take a moment to recreate that moment when C.G., spoke about that flight mid-air. And I ask you to just use your imagination and in your mind's eye, recreate that scene while we listen to this beautiful clip that Baba's sweet students offered in his divine presence in the aisle of the flight in the summer of 2010 when they were flying with God on the chartered plane from Delhi to Bangalore. Please have a listen and enjoy.
Thank you.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory. You just heard a sample of that mid-year concert that Brother CG and other Sai students had played for Bhagwan during his flight from Delhi to Bangalore in the summer of 2010. My guest, Brother CG, spoke of it in last week's interview on Morning Glory. He told us that Bhagwan enjoyed this musical offering immensely, and he kept beat with his hand, and he even sang some of the lyrics of the song. Now, how divine is that? And by the way, if the audio quality of that concert was not up to your expectations, sorry, we can't apologize for it, because it was actually recorded in a flying plane. Now, it can't get better than this. Now, today we are going to take this wonderful conversation with Brother CG forward, but as he has to attend some very important work with Professor G. Venkatraman right now at this moment, what I did, I pre-recorded his interview for this morning's session just 2 days ago, and I'm going to play it for you. It's unedited as it is. You will absolutely love it. It's mesmerizing. And you will also understand why Brother CG made that decision that he would rather be with GV sir at this moment than come for the live show and share the rest of his experiences. It's all there in that interview, which you must not miss. I'm going to play it for you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Sairam, Brother CG, and welcome once again to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
Sairam, Sairam, Didi. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I know the feedback has been very positive and listeners have really enjoyed hearing you last Thursday. So we can't put a break on this narrative. We have to share at least some of the highlights of the many interactions you had with Bhagwan. Now, we were talking earlier about your student days last week. Are there any other memories that come to mind from your school days that you would like to share?
Yeah, there are. There are quite a few, in fact. But some of the ones which really stand out, I think, will be helpful even to students who are studying now.
Oh, good.
And because as I think of it, we were fortunate and lucky to have Swami right in front of us in the physical frame. But now students who are studying, I think quite a few of them haven't seen Swami also. They haven't seen Swami physically. But what he taught us through those experiences and what he actually showed us keeps us going even today. I mean, we are not that old right now, but still, it sounds very old to speak that way, but it's some kind of a confidence that he has given us that, yes, he is there. And when we are having some difficult times, we go back to those days and I would say when we were still innocent. And, oh, I know, because it is to that innocence that he responds. Mm. It is to that innocence and that complete faith in him that he responds. And he is just beyond time. So how does it matter? If you think of him now, he is there for you. If you need him now, he is there for you. You know, some of these, strangely enough, when I completed my class 7, that is in the year 1990 or 91. Mm-hmm. So when I came to 8th, 9th, there was something inside me that kept telling, just make the best of these 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. Because these are going to be golden years. And the first thing obviously was that we got to come for darshan every evening. Apart from the primary school, that would we would come only Thursdays and Sundays. Every evening we are there with a letter to give it to Swami.
What did you have to say to him every
just
day?
Just something. In fact, I was speaking to some of my friends. And, you know, sometimes people just open up. And my friend was telling me he would complain bitterly to Swami about all the teachers. He would say, Swami, this
what a release for that child.
lighten his heart. And, you know, there's a video sometime when it comes out. I don't know in what format. Possibly in a documentary of Swami with students. So sweet, so sweet. And Swami speaking to one of my classmates. So I know it's more relevant to me. There was one boy who would always fight with a lot of others. And
Other students.
Okay. He would fight and then there would be a lot of commotion and the teachers didn't know what to do. And obviously we don't remember what this particular incident, but when I saw the video, it just brought tears to my eyes. You know, Swami standing in the veranda and Swami is calling this chap and he kneels up and Swami says, "Hey, bahut fight karta hai. You're fighting a lot." Then he says, "Swami, no Swami, humko malum hai, I know, tum maarta hai boys ko. You're fighting.
You're hitting them too.
You're hitting them, you're fighting with them." And he was kind of silent. And then Swami says, bad, aisa nahi karo, don't do like that." And then he said, "Swami, paad namaskar. Kai ko fight karta hai?" For fighting, you want paad namaskar? And he didn't know. And everybody started laughing and the boy was a bit embarrassed. But then after that, what Swami did was so sweet. You know, he actually literally stretched out his hand. And he told, "Promise karo.
Promise me.
Promise me that you will not fight. If you promise me, I'll give you paad namaskar." How sweet, no? How sweet.
And tempting him with an open palm stretched in front of him.
He just stretched his palm. He said, "Promise karo. If you promise me that you won't fight, I'll give you namaskar." That was the kind of bond. That was the kind of relation. You could tell anything you wanted to Swami and he would respond. And there was one of my classmates who would every day write a poem and then give it to Swami. And he would write it, you know, in an open slip. He won't fold the letter. So that was another stunt we used to do. Like give him open letter. So he would stand there and read it. If it's a closed letter, long letter, then he would take it away. But if it's a short letter and it's open, Swami would stand and read it and we can get paad namaskar during that time. So this was all tactics. But more importantly, when I think of those days, what really comes to my mind is, you know, the whole fact, that time it was an open mandir. We were ready to put up with anything to get close to Swami. That more and more, you know, makes so much sense. Like, yes, we got his proximity, but we were ready to give up everything else. Very frankly, because, I know, this is a sentiment. You know, we students, we try to do many things to please Swami. There were students who would believe that if I walked to the mandir without my footwear, then Swami will be happy with me, he'll speak to me. Mm-hmm. I'm sacrificing my this thing.
In this heat, all that dirty road.
Very hot, hot. And they would say, "Okay, I'll walk barefoot." Then Swami would speak. And Swami would respond. Mm. And we would, you know, right in front of the mandir, there was this huge circle with the stupa there.
Yeah, and Ganesha.
Ganesha right in the front. So there is this narrow passage through which Swami walks back to the interview room after the Gensai Darshan. Mm. And all the boys sitting along that path would get namaskar. and we would all rush and run to sit there. The only drawback being you have to sit in the sun. You have to sit in the sun because it would be very hot in the afternoons, especially 3:34. It would be still hot.
I know. And Sam used to give early darshan, so we sat in that hot sand.
It was sand at that time.
Scalding.
By the time I came to my 91, 92, it became concrete. It was still, it was concrete. But in some ways, I felt the sand was better than concrete because the concrete made it all the more hot. And we would sit in the sun. We would just wait for him. And there would be a lot of competition to get that first line because we could get his namaskar and we could get... So, you know, even this thing is very moving because certain times when it would rain or certain times when it would be really hot, Swami would... We all would run into the veranda and Swami would stand right there and he would be watching the devotees. Many of them will just continue sitting in the rain because Swami is standing there. As a mark of respect, they won't want to get up and move back. Or even then, they would just say, forget the rain, let's see Swami. And Swami would often tell us that, see, that is bhakti, that is devotion. It all comes back. I mean, it makes so much sense. Are you ready to forget yourself? Yes, then you have me. These are, you know, as you grow up, you start wondering and start thinking on these lines. He made us sit, you know, where would you find school students and institute students sitting for 2 hours, 3 hours doing nothing? Literally doing nothing but waiting for Swami. Of course, when he comes out, we forget everything else. But then you have to wait. You have to wait when the interview
is... So much patience.
Yeah, you have to wait. And then that kind of gave you a minuscule deservedness, if I would put it, to actually get his love. But this is what we went through. And, you know, in this connection, there is a very sweet thing that happened, a very beautiful incident, which for me means a lot. And it is kind of a multidimensional take-home, I would say, take-home lesson from what I experienced then. It was one of these days, you know, when it was really hot. It was really hot in the evening darshan. And what happened was, I was sitting... where the circle was, right behind the circle. I mean, not in the first row, I would say, somewhere behind, but the first row where Swami would walk past. I would, as I said, that long path, I don't know, for people who have seen it, they can imagine it better, but somewhere there. And this thought came to me. I said, my God, it's so hot. It's so hot. And Swami is coming for darshan. He completed the ladies' side. He came to the gents' side. And I just felt, Swami, who is going to object if you wear a pair of padukas and come for darshan? Who is going to have any problem with it?
Because he was walking barefooted in that hot sand.
Yeah, he that was concrete by then. I said, I mean, you can just walk with padukas. You can wear some slippers, some sandals. I mean... who would have a problem with it? Your padukas are as holy as your feet. Why do you have to walk in this hot sun? Why do you have to walk on this concrete? It was really burning that day. And for some particular reason, that day I was really struck by the heat. And I said, my God, I felt very, you know, very sad that why Swami is walking in this heat. And as if to rub salt on the wound, Swami came, stood right in front of me. Where I was sitting, stood right in front of me, looking over me, beside me, above me, the other side of me, but not at me. He came and stood there, right in front of me, and he started saying, Dekho ra, ground kitna tanda hai. Ice cream, like ice cream. It is like
ground
ice cream.
Ground is cold like ice cream.
Huh, he started telling that, ground is cold like ice cream. And I was literally moved to tears. I said, Swami, first of all, it's so hot, you're not looking at me, and then you're making fun of my thoughts and sentiments. That's what came. But, you know, very strangely, this is the truth, I can't hide it, but at that moment, two thoughts came simultaneously. One said that, Swami is just making fun. Of course, it's very hot. It's absolutely hot. So he's just being funny or sarcastic about it, and he's just saying tanda and all that. Second thing is, what for him? Yeah, come on. This heat is nothing.
Beyond the opposites.
He is beyond the opposites. And in a sense, the thought came that, okay, he is like a thousand sons. What does one son do? Somewhat those kind of thoughts, but still I was very, Swami, no. Then he further rubbed in. He said, what for you all? You all boys, you are so careful, you are so lucky. You have mats, cushions, sofas, beds. So, dekho kitna bada cushion. So we would get our mats to sit. One is for the heat, one is for the dirt. But that was a fact. He was walking barefoot all along.
Mm.
He said, for you, what is there? You all are happily sitting on Dunlap, Rath. Isko Dunlap. So he would say, Dunlap mattress. You are sitting on all that. But I have to walk on this.
Mm.
And that was so, so sad. I felt so sad. And he was just saying, ice cream. And he just walked past. And I was feeling so miserable and I was literally I was crying inside. I didn't say tears rolled down, but I was really crying inside. I said, I mean, this is all self-imposed. Who would really stop you if you would wear a pair of slippers and come out for darshan? Then, you know, as was the routine, the interview would get over. And once the interview would get over, the boys would run up to the veranda. And we would sit right up to the interview room. That day I decided I'm not running there. I am going to sit behind on that same hot concrete and I will give you instructions from here. So,
were you a teenager by now, CG?
Yeah, I was in my 8th standard.
Yeah, so I guess.
So 8th or 9th, I couldn't remember, 1981.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was sitting back there and it was still hot. You know, 4:35, 5:15, it was still hot. Must be nearing summer. I don't remember the month exactly. Then the sun started going down. And the interviews are over. So we all, the boys have ran up to the veranda. And Swami is inside the interview room. And I said, okay, so now you are not going to come out. Good, don't come out. It's still hot. This is inside me. I'm sitting there. I removed my mat. I said, okay, you don't have a slippers. I'm not going to have a mat. Sitting on the floor, touching the floor and seeing, no, Swami, it's still hot. It's not yet time. Just wait, hold on, I'll tell you. And then I said, okay, now it seems a bit cooled down. Now you can come out. So this is just inside me. I said, now you can come out. And thug, the interview room door opens. And he came out. And right from the interview room, I said, yeah, it's good that you have come out. Now you can come near me also, no? That's the next prayer. I said, Swami, you can come near me also. I'm sitting so far, I'm sitting back. Almost like, see, I'm doing it for your sake. Why don't you come near me? That kind of, you know, it's just a prayer. And that's exactly what he did. Right from the interview room door, he said, make way, make way, make way, make way. That was his characteristic style of saying. So boys would just move and that just like the rivers parted or the ocean parted for Moses, the boys would part and Swami came straight up to where I was sitting, looked at me and said, hey, dunna pota.
Buffalo.
He Buffalo. That was his pet name.
Yeah,
would say.
A term of endearment. Yeah.
What do you say to this?
So obviously you knew at that age that there is a live wire connection between your deepest thoughts and his presence in your heart.
He just proved it. And no matter what anybody tells me, no matter what, let the whole world says anything else, I know it happened to me.
Yeah.
And I know I have not spoken it to the person sitting right next to me. But Swami knew it all along. So at that age, you know, at that age when Swami shows you, see, to put it slightly different, okay, primary school, you are more or less told what to do. Okay, you start doing what you're told to do. Innocently, sometimes spontaneously, sometimes not so spontaneously, but maybe because you felt that's the right thing to do. Then as you start coming to the higher secondary school and you start seeing him every day, then you start developing thoughts of your own. And you start wondering, okay, is this the right thing to do? Is this not the right thing to do? Do I really feel this way? Do I not feel this way? So then you start becoming more natural and spontaneous. Then by the time you come to the college and institute, for many who, you know, it does happen, so there's no point in not saying it. Many people who leave the place and go. either because they want to pursue higher studies and other courses, or many people who have lost that interest in Swami as well. I mean, it's really not out of place to say it, but it does happen. Some people don't have the deep attachment. So, whatever be the reason, they leave and go. But then those who stay back, or even those who go out, that doesn't stop them from thinking about Swami and thinking of all the wonderful things. But then your approach and your understanding just grows up. So, these kind of experiences when, you know, of course, I didn't kind of share it with many, but there are certain experiences. Like, for example, there was one of my classmates who, because Swami was not speaking to him, he said, I'm going to fast. And I'm going to sit in the Hanuman Chalisa room. There was a room. And I'm going to continuously chant Hanuman Chalisa till Swami speaks to me.
Mm-hmm.
And
this was in high school?
This was in high school. And that was the first day or second day. And Swami sent word from the mandir. There is one boy sitting in the room. Tell him to stop doing that. Tell him to go and have food.
I should have known this trick. I should have tried it. I wonder.
The boys used all Brahmastras. All Brahmastras. See, the beauty was when they really believed that he is doing it for Swami, he would respond. He did respond.
Always.
He did respond. There is another very sweet thing that happened. I mean, yes, these were things that happened, but now, again, as I told you, looking back at them, these are lessons for a lifetime.
For sure.
These are lessons for a lifetime.
And for all of us.
For all, for everybody, for everybody. So this was sometime in our 9th standard, possibly 91, 92. And Swami was to visit the hostel. Now, at that time, the hostel was, you know, to put it in indecent terms, a madhouse. But to put it in a decent term, put it in decent terms, it was heaven. I couldn't say anything, you know, because you had students right from the 8th standard all the way till PhD students. And that was a matter of pride for Swami. He would oftentimes call some VIPs on the veranda and say, hey boy, which class are you in? Which class are you in? See, everybody in the same hostel. But then that had its limitations as well. The dining hall which we had at that time was not very big. It was quite small. So the school students, especially 8th, 9th, 10th, we had a separate puja room, like a puja room in the sea floor.
Okay.
That's where we were, our rooms. One of the rooms, one corner, we had put Swami's altar. And
that was the prayer hall.
Prayer hall. Mm-hmm. So we would, boys were staying even in that room, but that used to be the prayer hall for our Omkaram Suprabhatam. And because all the boys would not fit into the dining hall. And even the meal sessions had to be taken in turns.
Yeah, because so many of you.
Yeah. In fact, for those who have stayed in the hostel and those who have known the shelves that we have, the cupboards that we have, in our 8th standard, two boys had to share one cupboard because there were not enough number of rooms and cupboards. That was the kind of strength, 600 strong in the hostel. Mm-hmm. So it was quite a, you know, you had to fight for everything, right from the bathroom to lines to meals to everything. You have to be on the tiptoe. But Swami was there. So he was one point contact for everybody. And we never felt, and we did not have fans in our rooms. Can you believe it?
In this heat.
In the heat, yeah. And there were no fans in our rooms. It used to get really hot.
Especially the top floor, I know.
Top floor. And two boys in one cupboard.
In one cupboard, okay.
Yeah,
sharing a cupboard.
Sharing a cupboard. I mean, now I can't think of it.
I know.
But it was so natural. It just went through. So one of
I think the focus was primarily on Swami and winning His love and grace. So people didn't think so much. At that age, we didn't think so much about the hardships.
Exactly. But, on the contrary, when you think of it today, because you kept up with those hardships for His sake, He was there for you.
Exactly.
He was there for you.
Yeah.
When you wanted Him, He was there. Mm-hmm. You say, it's only because of Swami that you're staying in such a school, you're staying in such a hostel where you have to go through such hardships. And, you know, many students, it would have been their experience that there is no economical distinguishing. No. You know, there is no.
It's a level playing field. You can be a son of a farmer or a millionaire. You share the same room, same bathroom.
Yeah, you could just share the same cupboard as well.
Yes, of course.
And so there was no differentiation at all. And it was like in my way of thinking, he's giving you a common platform. From here, you grow. I have given you all a common platform. From here, you grow. That growth depends on you. Mm-hmm. How
serious. That's the training he gave, no? So we could bear, we develop forbearance, patience,
correct,
consideration for other people, and just sort of taking it quietly, not revolting and fighting about every little thing.
Forbearance and care and love. And when you look at somebody having a hard time, in fact, many years later, I asked one of the teachers, it's not to put down anybody, but I asked him, do you find any difference between the students who come right from primary school days and those who join in the 11th standard?
Yeah.
Because 11th standard, they have another set of interview and they take up new students from outside who are also devotees and who want to study in Swami's school. Nothing wrong about that. But I asked him, is there any marked difference? He said, yes. There is one which I have observed. And he said, suppose there is an examination tomorrow and one of the boys is not well. And I call two random boys and tell them, can you kindly take care of him? The guy who has studied here from class 1 will immediately run to take care of the boy. Will immediately run. He will not care for his exams tomorrow. But the one who comes from outside will say, sir, my exam is there tomorrow, sir. I have an exam. There's a bit of hesitation. And it struck me so deep because, you know, Swami has always given you the confidence, I am there for you.
Yeah.
I am there for
you.
When
you do the right thing and I will see you through.
I will be there. I am there for you. Mm. And with every experience that we have had, this is the, you know, kind of take-home lesson. And it's become a part of us. It's become a part of us. So when we feel that, yes, this is the right thing to do, we know Swami will take care. That kind of thing. Now here, I was just narrating this sweet incident which happened in our 9th standard or so. Swami was to visit the hostel. And as I was telling you, our prayer hall was in the sea floor. And Swami came to the hostel. Just before he came, the previous night, some of our wing teachers, school teachers, they said, see, Swami is coming to the hostel. Why not invite Swami to our prayer hall, which is way up in the 3rd floor, sea floor. And to my knowledge, I don't think Swami went up there even during the hostel inauguration. So, but there was this thought, and probably the teacher thought, it's a good occasion to get it all cleaned up. Now, whether Swami comes or not.
The boys will at least tidy it up nicely.
Yeah, tidy it up. And so there was a lot of enthusiasm kicked in. And everybody was running around. And we went at night and stole some of the arches from the Isharama school garden. The Isharama school garden had these metal arches which were looking beautiful. Come on, every turning of the staircase, we should put an arch. So go steal from there. We brought it up all the way. And the teachers were wondering what's going on. We said, you keep quiet. We know how to decorate. So we were busy doing all that and cleaning and mopping. And then in a lot of enthusiasm, we said, we should whitewash the whole walls again. I mean, how do you expect Swami to come when the walls are so dirty? Because, you know, there's just chunam on the walls.
Yeah.
And then as the boys go up and down, you keep touching the wall and it all becomes very dirty. So with full earnestness, we got and started painting.
Overnight you painted.
Overnight painting was going on. And after about 1 hour or so into the painting, somebody came and said, hey, this kind of smells funny. I said, oh, how can it smell funny? Then somebody said, what did you put? And they traced it back to bleaching powder.
Oh dear God.
So instead of putting chunam for mixing and painting the wall,
bleaching the
walls. Boys put bleaching powder. Everything looked white, so how does it matter? But the whole place started smelling. And they said, no, this we can't do. You have to take it down again, start painting. So they did that.
All overnight.
All over again. And all overnight. Got chunam from somewhere, did it, and again repainted it.
And then you cleaned the floors, removed the stains.
Cleaned the floors, removed everything. And ours was in the sea floor. The B floor rooms, which came along the path of the staircase, felt, my God, if Swami is going to go up, let us also keep our room clean. And they also kept their rooms clean. They cleaned up and all. See, God knows everything. Swami knows everything. See the beauty, how in one stroke He satisfies everybody. Mm. Now what happened was, the dining hall was cleaned up, everything was cleaned up, and all the dirty water, I mean the institute and the institute students and the warden cared two hoots for what we were doing, and they were sure Swami is not going to walk up till. In our enthusiasm, we had even fixed a Vedam group who will chant Vedam, and that rehearsal was going on parallelly. And up what songs we are going to sing. That, see, because we believed He would come.
Come, little boys, yes.
We believed He would come. And so what happened? All, just, you know, half an hour is left for Swami to come. We have been cleaning everything and we came down the next day. And all the dirty water from the dining hall clean was just pushed on the way. The way, the path which Swami had to take to come up to our third floor. And I was totally shaken because he said, my God, if this is not clean, what's the point in keeping everything clean?
Because he would have to pass that.
He would have to pass that. And I remember literally calling a few of us, and we all cleaned it up. And, you know, some of the institute boys and, hey, what you fellows are wasting time. Swami's already coming. Get ready and all that. We said, yeah, Swami is going to come to our prayer hall also. So, we were so passionate. We cleaned up the path, everything. And Swami came to the hostel. And there was this beautiful program in the quadrangle. Swami was sitting on the jhula. And boys were singing songs. And there was this young boy, Shantanu Dikshit. He was in his 8th standard. Fabulous singer. Excellent singer. And he was just beginning to sing in the mandir, or he had not yet started singing in the mandir. That was his breaking point in the hostel. And Swami, I think he sang Yanta Hai Yanta Hai Inadu. He's saying how happy today is. How happy that Mandahasa Vadanamuto Nadachi Vachi Nau. With a beautiful smiling, like the jasmine. You know, a smile like a jasmine, you have come walking to our place. So that's the meaning of the song, and he sang that song. Swami was so happy. Very happy, and Swami called him near. Swami said, hey, boy, ask me what you want. What do you want? He took namaskar. What do you want? Swami is so happy. He said, Swami, please come to our prayer hall. He said, Swami, you should come. Where is your prayer hall? Swami, up, Swami. Sea floor. Yes, Swami, sea floor, Swami. Ah, okay. Swami told and blessed. And everybody started laughing. All the institute boys started laughing. They said, this foolish fellow, you don't expect Swami to walk up all the way till sea floor and all that. And what Swami did was, he said, okay, program is over. Come, let us go for dinner. Now, conveniently, all the school students were, at least we youngsters were, because the dining hall was very small. The institute students were given first preference. And outgoing batches like 10th standard and 12th standard boys, they got the chance to sit inside the dining hall when Swami was there. So only those students were sitting inside, and we all were standing outside the dining hall. And Swami went inside, Brahmarpanam over, and they started their food. Suddenly Swami looked out. Swami said, where is your prayer hall? And some of the eighth, Swami, up, tell me how to come. And you should have seen the commotion running all over. Now, a few of us who blocked the path, because Swami used to walk on this path, we had laid carpet and this and that, and we didn't want anybody to spoil all the floral decorations, come from the other side. So the whole 8th and 9th standard boys running, because there's another way to the sea floor.
And the arches and everything for Swami. Yeah.
So they ran, and Swami actually started climbing the stairs.
Wow.
He crossed that path, started climbing the stairs.
Through the arches.
And he was looking at everything.
Whitewashed walls.
And he was, the boys were chanting Vedam, and he was chanting along with them. And then he came. See, this is the beauty of Swami. He came to B floor, and the whole Vedam procession is leading him to the C floor. But he took a detour, and he went into the room. There were two, three boys, they were shocked to see Swami. And Swami went into the room. And went near the altar where they had put a chair for Swami. I think he probably sat on the chair or just blessed the altar. And he asked, where are the boys? Nobody's here. They said, no, Swami, not here. Sea floor. Oh, is it? Okay, come, we'll go there. But that was the room the boys thought, okay, Swami is coming to the hostel. Let us keep our room clean. And he went to the room. He makes no mistakes. He went to the room. He saw them. He blessed them. Then he came up to the seafloor.
To your prayer hall.
He came up to our prayer hall. And Swami, we were so happy, so thrilled, so, you know, everybody jumping and running around. Nobody knew what to do. We had no idea. Okay, I have come. Now what?
Yeah.
Swami, everybody is so happy. Then somebody said, sing some songs. So somebody started, humko tumse, or some song. And Swami was just sitting there. So lovely. Somebody had the presence of mind to get a tray full of chocolates. So Swami picked it up and just threw it. And then everybody was jumping for the chocolates. Then somebody had a photograph to be signed. So Swami signed on the photograph, which was put in the altar for many years. And he was just going around and asking a few boys, patting a few boys on his cheeks. Hey boy, what's your name? This, that. Spent some time while the institute boys are cursing themselves in the dining hall. Although they had this fabulous dinner there, they were stuck there.
Because they couldn't get up. Yes. They had to wait for Swami to come down.
So they couldn't get up. They were stuck there.
You little boys pulled off a coup.
Yeah. He did it. I mean, what immaculate planning. You just look at that. And he blessed all of us and then came down.
Perfect.
That's it.
So this is the building which is the current higher secondary school
or the institute? The institute, old hostel. And that's the hostel which everybody was staying together, living together. Then in our 12th standard, the second semester, that's when we moved to the new hostel.
Mm-hmm.
That's the school hostel became separate, institute hostel became separate. I think because the strength was too much and they couldn't
accommodate.
But these memories will...
So beautiful.
Isn't it wonderful?
Absolutely.
Isn't it wonderful? And then, you
so
know,
spontaneous.
How he rewards.
And such simple acts of affection and love, proper planning. In today's age and day, we would have like a event management if Swami was coming into one of the hostels.
Yeah.
It would be...
So spontaneous. And that's where he responded. That's how he responded. Anything we would do with love, he would... In fact, there is another beautiful story which must be in our 9th or 10th century. I mean... These are things that I can never forget. I mean, I don't know where she stole the title from Arundhati Roy, but God of small things, that's absolutely right.
He is God of our small things.
He is the God of everything.
Yeah.
But He is the God of our small things.
Truly, isn't He?
How beautiful. Because you remember sometime in our 9th or 10th, I won't... that was the time when Swami was moving into the Purnachandra Hall. Purnachandra Hall. From this mandir, Swami was moving into the Purnachandra Hall.
So his residence was at the back of the
Swami's stage. Swami used to stay in the mandir and he was moving to the Purnachandra Hall. And then we had contact with some of the brothers who were in Swami's room. And so we would repeatedly send message and ask him, tell us something which is lacking in Swami's room. We want to give as a class. As a class, we wanted to get together and send something for Swami, which was really not there. And that brother would, scratch his head and say, "Arey, stop irritating me and stop questioning me so many times. But there is everything in his room. What will you small fellows come up with? There's everything. You want to buy a clock? Yes, there's a clock. There are sofas. Yes, there is curtain rods. There are curtains. I mean, to the extent of what we could think. As 9th standard students or 10th standard students, what could we come up with? We could come up with possibly some flower vase or some curtain or some table. He said, no, they're all there. There's no place to put anything. If you can give some place, that would be fine. But how do we give place to Swami? There are so many things. I mean, and people, devotees from all over the world would have sent him a lot of things because the word would have gone around that Swami is shifting his residence. So a lot of people would have sent things with a lot of love. And so I said, no, we can't leave it this way. We have to send something to Swami. So there we got together, a few of us. And we came up with the idea that why not we make a calendar for Swami?
At least he will know the date.
Okay. And we'll make a calendar.
Uh-huh.
And we won't buy it. We'll hand make it.
Make it a nice idea.
We'll make it I mean, we didn't have money to buy also. What we could make means, give Swami means we had to make it.
Of course.
So what we did was, with a lot of effort, we tried to get this chart paper, thick chart paper. Then we...
Bristol board, yeah.
Just drawing paper. And then we got some cardboard and bent it, made it like a, you know, a pen stand. Not a pen stand. Rather, it was just like a, you know, like a triangle. And so that on one face of the triangle, we had small pockets in which we had handwritten dates.
Okay.
You know, you cut the paper into small strips and 1 to 9, 0 to 9. You know, the old kind of perennial calendar. You had to take one thing and put it behind.
So you would flip it every day.
It every day.
And
you
have
to change the date every day. And so then the current date would come in the front.
Through that window.
Yeah, through the window. So there were just slits in that paper thing. And then that was the idea. We got, I remember, some nice gift paper with flowers on it. And we said, okay, this will be a good covering for it and all that. And one of our boys who knew a little bit of calligraphy actually sat and hand wrote everything. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, month, January, February, March, April. Then we had an argument whether we should have full January or only Jan, Feb, something.
Very important decisions, of course.
Very, very critical for the grand gift we are planning to give.
Yes.
And so we did all that. And one of the boys said, see, I've got a pen stand with me. And, you know, on one side, there's a pen stand. And on the side, he was from Mumbai. So then this was something very posh at that time. And on one side, there were these movable, shelves or small compartments where you could put clips and pins.
Paper pins and stuff, stationery
kind of thing. So there was this pen stand and this small 2-3 movable kind of compartments. And he said, you know, why don't you add this along with the calendar? We said, wow, now that's adding value. Tremendous value to our calendar. So we told, no problem. So we brought that up and then we added it along with this calendar. And we said, what will Swami have to do with pins and clips and all that? Let us put lavang, clove.
Okay.
Because Swami would take clove and one ilaichi, one clove.
Cardamom and clove.
Yeah. And so that we put in those compartments.
Breath fresheners.
And somebody got a pen, which was possibly a simple pen, but at that time was a
very
fancy pen, some hero pen or something.
For the superhero.
For the superhero. So he said, okay, wow, we got a pen as well. And we packed this whole thing and sent it. And I believe Swami was so moved. Swami was so happy. And he said, this will stay on my table, right in the front. This will stay on my table right in the front.
So sweet.
And then he even asked the thing, why did they have to spend money for all this pen stand and all that? Why did they do all this? This calendar would have been enough. He said that. But nevertheless, he said, this will be there on my table. And later we got to know, maybe a few days after we actually sent it, the Prime Minister was to visit. And he was to visit the room. Swami had ordered everything else to be removed except this calendar from the table. He had to show the Prime Minister that this is what my boys have sent me. And he would religiously come, change the date, pick the clove, and you forget the silver cup and forget everything else. He would pick it from this compartment. Of this pen stand. He would take the clove and then come out for darshan.
Love. The thought behind it was so pure.
So pure. That's,
that's
it.
All he cares about.
That's
not
it.
About the expensive stuff.
No. And
it was handmade with so much of love.
That's it. And with all our improper calligraphy, we got away with it.
And so many executive decisions, Montu, Jan, Feb, or January, February.
So...
Those are big things to handle. We are doing good.
So that's how it is. And I mean, a few of these things, how can you ever forget?
I know. And it's good to go back and revisit them because they remind you of that love that we have shared with him.
It's just a spontaneity. I mean, you can tell your mother everything. You can tell your father everything. You can tell Swami everything.
Absolutely.
And he is there with you all the time. He is there with you all the time. Beautiful things, beautiful things. I mean, at that time, they looked like, oh, Swami took our, this thing, Swami took this, Swami took that. And we were so involved in the details of the thing, the message never got home. But now it all looks so fresh, it looks so new. I mean, these are lessons for lifetime. And even, you know, as a part of Radio Sai, much later, and when we joined here, everything has been so fascinating.
So coming to Radio Sai, Brother CG, I believe this is your only job you have held. You finished your post-graduation, you waited for 6 months.
Yeah.
And you've had only one job interview and you got hired. But the interesting part is that your job interview was conducted by none other than Bhagwan himself.
That's right, in a way, if you want to call it a job interview, yes.
And you were hired for Radio Sai by the Lord of the Universe himself.
Yeah, slight technical correction. At that moment, Radio Sai didn't exist.
Exist, yes.
So,
but to do whatever you're doing today, it was Swami who picked you.
Absolutely. Absolutely right.
Tell us all about it.
So, what happened was, I have to give a little bit of background.
Please do.
Because when Swami actually gave us an opportunity to be with him at Kodaikanal, so Swami was telling me, you have done your bioscience undergraduate, why don't you do your MBBS? You do MBBS, become a doctor, come and serve in the hospital. I said, absolutely fine. Swami, if you want me to do that, that's what I'll do. And it went on, but then there was an opportunity when I told Swami, there is a master's course as well. So he says, yes, you do your master's, after that you do MBBS. That's the right age. I said, wow, I got 2 more years extension with Swami. So let us do our master's, and master's was done. And then...
your master's in science, biosciences.
Biosciences, yeah. Biosciences. So then I completed it in the year 2001. And so one of those months, Swami just came to the bhajan hall and picked a few of us and called us inside. And he asked me, you wanted to do some MBBS. What happened to all that? And in my mind, I'm shouting, Swami, you wanted me to do that.
Technical correction.
Technical correction. Swami, you wanted me to do that. But I'm okay with anything. But then I just paused for a moment and I told Swami, in order to stay with you, I'm ready to study anything. Because, you know, that was the most prominent thought. And so I told in Telugu, Swami to undatanki evana chadutan, Swami, I told. And I was just short of patting myself on the back. I felt, what a smart answer. I said, wow, I never knew I could answer that way. And I was just waiting for Swami's reaction, but pat came the reply. He said, Swami to undatanki chadu avasrama. Do you need education and studies to stay close to Swami? More and more you think of that statement, you just start, you know, marveling at the depth of what Swami actually said. Nothing can take you close to him. It's not your education, it's not your art, it's not your anything. Nothing matters for him. Only you matter to him. So he said, Swami Thornara Chadu Avasrama. So then there were a few of those sessions where Swami would call and say, so what will you actually do? So he said, Swami, whatever you want me to do. Cheppu, Nik, what interest you have, this, that. Swami, whatever you tell me, I'll do. So he said, oh, will you become teacher, institute, professor, you become lecturer? I was very thin at the time. So he said, what lecturer, you don't have personality.
Oh dear.
if students do foo and blow, you will fly out of the window.
Wafer thin teacher.
What lecturer you will make? He said, no. Then Bangalore Hospital. You go to Bangalore Hospital, your biosciences, you serve there. Then I kept quiet. If that's what you want, fine. Then I told Swami, parents are also here, Swami. Means, I don't want to leave you, but wherever you want me to go. But if you ask me, I would like to stay here because you are here, my parents are here. Oh, parents are also here. So then he didn't force me onto the Bangalore thing. But then he made me wait. So he said, wait. So, I was waiting and in fact, I mean, at that moment, I didn't know that I would get the job quickly, but waiting is waiting. And then there were boys who were waiting for 2 years, 3 years, and subsequently we have, you know, there are some of the boys who have waited for 6, 7 years.
Yes, I know, including in our team.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible, the love and the devotion and the steadfastness which they have.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Maybe I didn't have that much of patience, possibly, so he decided to put an end to my chapter. But nevertheless, it's his will, and he has a good reason for everything. So, this was going on, and see, there are certain things where Swami would respond differently to different people. And like, when we were waiting, one thing which just stood up, of course, I could play the harmonium for the morning bhajans then, and that was something very beautiful. And Swami would go out certain times in the car just for a round, and everybody would run behind the car and they would stand at vantage points and try to get darshan. And so one day I thought, why am I not running? And I ran as well, and I ran to the ground, and Swami, everybody was standing on the other side, and I thought Swami is going to come near the Chetan Jyoti side. And I went and stood there. And then, right enough, Swami came that way. And nobody was there. The soul. You know, see, whether you have darshan with 100 people around or you have darshan when you are alone, darshan is the same. But you get that extra satisfaction that nobody else.
He has no one to look at except me.
No. Yeah, he has no, he cannot avoid me. That, of course, he can avoid you. But I was standing there all by myself, and the car came. And the car slowed down. I said, wow. And then the glass came down. Wow, wow. And then Swami was looking out of the window. Wow, wow, wow. And then I got a thorough firing from him.
Oh, dear God.
I said, gee, discipline ledu. No discipline. Why are you running here and there? Go to bhajan hall. Sit there.
It's an anti-climax.
Yeah. But, well, that's his way. That's what he wanted me to do.
No running.
No running, no doing. He didn't mind others doing it. So I'm just trying to say that he was a personalized God for each one.
Yeah.
And he looked at each one, reflected your way of thinking, gave you what you required, made sure you grew. That's how it was. So then coming back to this Radio Sai thing, one fine day we were called in. Three of us, Prakash Bharatkar who's here, myself and Chiran, the other boy who was working in the Central Trust. And Swami was there, and Professor Venkatraman was there, the Vice Chancellor was there, the Registrar was there, and maybe somebody else, I don't know, and three of us. And Swami was seated there, having this mischievous smile, and then moment we came in and closed the door, Adigandi Prashnalu, you ask your questions. Swami told Professor Venkatraman, you ask your questions. Now, Professor Venkatraman was very clear of what he wanted. So he told Swami, Swami, I want students who have got computer background. I want to make a database, this, that, of Swami's discourses, message and all that. So I need somebody who has a computer background. So then Swami looked at Prakash, and he very promptly said, Swami, I've done my master's in mathematics. I know C, C++, computer programming, this, that. And then I said, that's it. I am done for. Because I didn't know the C of computer. Because, you know, coming from a bioscience background, never bothered to go into computers, you know. Very frankly, I didn't know what that start button is. What is that mouse? What is that left click, right click? Nothing. Absolute zero. Swami looked at me. He said, what do you know about computers? I said, Swami, I know nothing. I know nothing. The registrar tried to come to my rescue, and he said, no, in your undergraduate, you know, you had a course where you were introduced to computers, this, that. I said, yes, sir, there was something that was more theoretical, but, you know, I really don't know anything about computers. I told that. And then Swami looked at me. I said, yeah, now this job is not for me. That's what I thought. And there Swami gave that beautiful twist, you know. He said, hey, how did you learn this? He indicated this harmonium playing. How did you learn that? By yourself. How did you learn this? Like sitar, he showed his hand, how you play the sitar. He said, how did you learn that? In the same way, you will learn this also. Take namaskar. Come on.
Especially once he gives you namaskar,
that's it.
He's already lit up your head.
He said, take namaskar. How did you learn this? How did you learn that? Same way you learn this also.
Computers
hey, Mundra Dantlo, tisko namaskar. That's it. And then he said, I am sending you under Venkatraman. You work under Venkatraman. Because as I told you, there was no radio sign at that time. And then Swami said, he is not normal Venkatraman. He is Tirupati Venkatraman. I don't know what that means, but he did say that. And even when a few of our other colleagues were joining the studio, Swami did mention, Swami said, make Venkatraman happy, I will be happy. I mean, these are the things, who would teach you to make your boss happy? I mean, with the idea that God will be happy.
Yeah.
See, it's not, you're not trying to please your boss for the sake of pleasing him. Swami is telling you, you do your duty well. When you do your duty well, your boss will be fine. Your boss will be happy with you. That will make me happy.
Very few people would think like that.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, they just taught us Matru Deva Bhava, Pitru Deva Bhava. Nobody said your boss is also God.
That's what Swami
except
said.
Swami taught us.
Swami told you, make him happy. That will make me happy. So, that's what, when we go back, this is, so that's how we joined Radio Sai. And then, October 1st, Swami said, October 1st is nice date, you go and join. So, October 1st, we joined. And we were sitting in the planetarium because we had no offices here. And Sunil had, I think, by the time already joined in August 15th or 16th. My brother and some of the others had joined.
And Hari also?
Hari was there right from before. So then it slowly evolved. The work evolved and we started to get. That's how we joined Radio Sai.
And just as you learned your sitar and your harmonium, you learned the computers.
Yeah.
You became a video editor, a camera person, you make documentaries, you mix music, you do it all.
No, but that's the interesting part, because I didn't have the good habit, I would say, of maintaining diaries. I should have. I know it's not right. I should have, because, you know, your memory can't serve you all the time. But one of those days when I just felt this was something very special, I had noted it down somewhere. And today when I look back at it, it's so amazing, because in the year 2002, I have narrated this earlier in Shravanam Mananam series, but I just felt it's appropriate here. In the year 2002, I had gone out to the school hostel to set up the camera because Swami was due to visit there. And so we had set up the camera and all that. I was there and Swami came out in out of the interview room in the morning and he said, where is that boy? That harmonium boy. And they said, Swami, he has gone to the school hostel. Swami said, he plays harmonium very nicely. Swami was speaking to one of my classmates. He says, not only harmonium, Swami, he plays sitar also. He does little bit of painting. But now, more importantly, he is learning video editing. Camera, his work, you know, learning how to shoot with the camera, video editing, all that he is learning, Swami. And Swami said, no musko, keep quiet. He has not learned anything. He is doing everything with love, so automatically it will come out good.
What an important message.
He said that. He is doing it with love, so automatically it will all come out good. And I had noted this down somewhere in one of those books. And when I saw this many years later, I mean 10 to 12 years later, I just feel, wow.
Love is the only power.
And with love you can achieve anything.
Anything. Even without any formal training or learning.
I think.
Love just opens up our brains, I guess.
That's right.
And the knowledge is within us, so it starts to manifest when we practice love.
So
do you think even today, so many years later, when you do your work, because CG, I note that you sit on a very sensitive seat, hot seat, and you're sometimes caught between the cross currents of interpersonal dynamics. You have a lot of people to oblige and please, and a lot of expectations.
Very frankly, over the years, the only lesson that I've learned, you know, doing the work here is, just take everything as Swami's will.
Okay.
Accept everything. It may be acceptable to you. It may be good to you. You may feel something is nice for you. That's His will. Something is absolutely not your way. Something is totally against what you wanted. That's also His will. Just accept it. And when you start accepting things, then there is no pressure on you at all. It's only pleasure. All the time you're happy. You don't have to worry 1 second. You may be handling 100 things. In fact, the Prema Pravaham, which happened in the 85th birthday, Swami's
beautiful musical program.
Yeah, the program that was offered to Swami on his 85th birthday.
In the evening by the students.
Yeah. Hmm. That had so many dimensions. The program had so many dimensions in the making of the program. The way it came about, the way it happened, and the way we had the response, everything. And every time I think of that story, it all comes back to have faith that whatever is happening is due to Swami's will. That's it.
Can you explain? Now, as a musician, as a composer, you might have had a vision for Prema Pravaham, but I'm guessing it must have undergone so many evolutions, reincarnations.
It did. Maybe quickly go through some of the aspects, because I felt that this is something very, very important for me. For me in my life, whenever I go back and revisit memories of that program, apart from being the last birthday program in Swami's physical presence, where it was the perfect combination of his students singing his life with visuals and him sitting and seeing his entire life come alive in front of him with the visuals. I mean, you can't think of anything more perfect.
And he was so moved by it.
He was so moved by
extremely
it.
Extremely emotional, extremely happy.
Yeah, yeah. And extremely proud as well. But the way it all came about is a story in itself. And I'll quickly narrate that story.
Please do.
And, you know, it was way back. It was in the month of April, I think, when Swami went to Delhi and Shimla. This program purely is Professor G. Venkatraman's vision. And it is his wish that actually came about, fructified as Prema Pravaham. He called me one day when Swami was still in Shimla and we were with Swami to the balcony of the guest house where he was staying. And he took out a small notebook and he said, "This is Prema Pravaham. I have started writing points for a program that we have to do for Swami's birthday." And at that point, this was still in April, he said, "Because I think we are not going to have many more birthdays on this grand scale." I was totally shocked. I said, "Sir, what are you talking? I mean, this is only the 85th birthday. And you have got 10 more years, 96. Swami is going." He says, "See, I don't know those things. Something is telling me that, yes, Swami may have a smaller scale birthdays in the Kulwant Hall or elsewhere, because his physical health was going down, apparently. That's what we all felt. And Sir felt it. And he said, "I don't think you're going to have. So we have to really do it." That was the urgency and the importance of the whole program. So he wrote down his thoughts of how the themes should be divided into different songs. And then we did a lot of background work, because his idea was, just as Lava Kusha, the two sons of Lord Rama, sang his life story in his presence, Swami's students should sing for him. See, that was his inspiration. So we literally, after we came back, we went back to the Lavakusha. There was this Lavakusha which is there, the famous Lavakusha Ramkatha. Ramkatha,
yeah.
Songs which Swami would listen to hundreds of times. And so we took that. We said, let us try to do something in that format. So we went song by song. We actually divided it in terms of number of times the line is repeated, the type of lines, the charanam, the pallavi, the stanza, this, that, where the interlude is coming. We analyzed, I still have those sheets, where we analyzed each song of the Ramkatha and said, this is how our song should be. So we put in a lot of technical effort. But we had to do something new. And so what we did was, then we took one of the themes and one of the devotees wrote the lyrics in Telugu. And with a lot...
But first, Dr. Venkatraman wrote it in English.
He wrote it in English.
And then someone translated into Telugu.
Yeah, I mean, he took the broad theme
and
of what was written there. That's because Sir had written it thematically.
Okay.
So he took the theme and then composed...
Set it to meter.
He composed
Telugu.
The lyrics.
Yeah.
Now, we had to really get permission for this program. So sometime in August, I remember I said, nothing is moving. So I took these lyrics, and I don't know how to read Telugu, so rewrote them in English. And then I sat and tuned it. I never tuned a song. I never tuned anything before. But I said, there's nobody around. Whom am I going to approach? And there was something going on, you know, Gram Seva. Something was going on at that time. Everybody was busy. and we had to do something and get through. So Independence Day was coming, actually Independence Day, and even in the studio there was some activity, so people were not around. So I took the bold step of actually tuning this song, and in my limited scope I recorded the song in my room, playing the sitar on one side and then playing the keyboard again. And I didn't know the software Logic Pro, so I had to do it in GarageBand. That's a basic audio software in Mac systems what we get. So I did it all on my own, and then finally we got the singers to come and sing it, and I put some visuals for it. Now, by the time we discussed amongst some of the, said we are going to ask Swami for permission to actually present his life story in the form of songs with visuals. See, that was the added unique feature, with visuals on his birthday. So then Swami said, okay, you come after the Independence Day. Next day, 16th or 17th, we went into the Yajur Mandir, and we played this song. Now, there was, I would say, a total mixed reaction. The elders were kind of taken aback with the visuals, because what had happened was that song had certain portions where we were talking about Rama Avatar, Krishna Avatar and all that. So I took some clips directly from the movies, of the old Telugu movies of Ramayana, okay, and put that, and then from the Hindi serial of Krishna, just, you know, see, we didn't have time to make all those paintings and all that. Whatever is available, I took and put. That put off a lot of elders, and they said, what are you doing? I mean, you can't do such things, and you don't expect this to go for Swami's birthday. I could just, you know, one sweep through and I could make out, he's out, he's in, he's out, he's in. So, but then we went up to Swami after the song, and we, because this was going to be a very difficult task, so we told Swami, Swami, it's going to be very difficult, only you have to bless us that it happens. And Swami just made one statement. He said, "Idi tappaga jarugutadi."
It'll definitely.
This will definitely happen.
Oh wow. That's all you needed.
That's all. And then it started. Nothing became easy after that. Then the whole drama started. And when Swami went back to the mandir, the elders were very confused whether Swami liked it, didn't like it, what is going to happen, because he told it to us very softly. Mm. And while they were still discussing what program to have for the birthday, Swami asked, what will my boys wear on that day? Can you believe it? What will my boys wear on that day? And then a tailor was brought in, measurements were taken, the cloth was selected by Swami, so on and all.
You all wore some fancy kurtas.
Kurta. Swami wanted it stitched that way with all decoration, embroidery, this, that. He did everything.
And I noticed the color of your kurta was similar to the robe that Swami had worn.
Yeah, yeah.
Cream gold kind
yeah,
of thing.
The singers had the gold cloth. Mm. The others had the silver kind of
very
cloth.
Beautiful cloth.
And Swami had done all that.
Very now, rich looking.
Now, after that first interaction was over, there we had sent the songs to one musician. And then when he tuned it and sent it back, some of the elders felt that, okay, this is good, but it's not good enough. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we go about telling one person that your music is not good enough, but at the same time getting things, now time was going. And then at that point, my colleague Dhananjay just told me that there was this composer, Mr. Rajkumar Bharti in Chennai, who does fabulous music. So I said, how to contact him? Let us contact him through Shai Shravanam, who's an audio engineer in Chennai. So I just rang him up and he says, right here, Rajkumar Bharti sir is standing right next to me in the studio.
Perfect timing.
And he said he has come to cancel the other project which they had, because the hard disk has crashed.
Oh, I see.
Hard disk has crashed, so that program was cancelled, so he was here. And we had called him. And they just came the next day here. And they said, please. And then they saw the... So now what happened? This dummy track which I had done for Swami, Mr. Rajkumar Bharti sir saw that song. And he was very moved. He said, see, look at this fellow. He is putting in his best efforts to try to do something. And actually, very frankly, it was that love which he saw in that composition. It is not the music expertise. It is not anything else. It's just the love that he saw.
You made using GarageBand.
GarageBand and simple, but the way it was, he was so impressed. He said, I'll take up this project. And for a good 1.5 months, 2 months, they struggled, slogged in Chennai. But even there, every time they wanted a musician, he was available. He said, in my life, I've never come across any project like this.
So much of synchronicity, because Swami said it will happen.
It will happen.
And his words have power.
Every stage, things just fell into place, fell into place. And on that particular day, it did happen.
And that's the whole story by itself. And I think, CG, we have to continue this conversation.
Yes. I thought I've completed it.
No, there's so much more. And, you know, for the sake of our listeners who are listening to Brother Sai Prakash right now, this Prema Pravaham, it's such a beautiful event, and there was so much of, I think the universe was working to make it happen, because only in hindsight we realized the value of it. This was the last time we were celebrating the life of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba in his physical presence. And luckily for all our listeners out there, people out there for generations to come, Radio Sai has a video product called Prema Pravaham, which captures this beautiful concert that Brother CG is telling us about, and he will continue to tell us about it in our next episode when we sit and talk to him. And you can actually pick it up and watch the video yourself, and you can see how much Swami is enjoying it, the visuals, the music, the outfits, the grace he has showered, the tunes, the lyrics, everything is very beautiful. So, Brother CG, on that very happy note, I want to really thank you for bringing these vivid memories to us. And I ask you to please join me next Thursday once again to take this conversation forward.
Definitely. If it's useful and if it's good, why not?
This is divine history.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It is his story.
It's beyond good and useful.
Story. It is his story. That's
thank
right.
you so much.
Thank you, Sairam.
Sairam,
dear sisters and brothers, that was Radio Sai's very own Brother CG Sai Prakash sharing his divine memories of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. As I told you earlier, CG studied here in Bhagwan's divine care from grade 1 to master's degree. He now works directly under Professor G. Venkatraman at Radio Sai, and he's the much-loved host of our show, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. CG's experiences are so many that I'm going to have him here again next week to continue the conversation, so please continue to stay tuned to Morning Glory next Thursday. Meanwhile, we need to hear back from you. So, dear listeners, I request you to immediately send in your feedback to this interview by email. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. And you heard him speak a lot about this musical concert, the 85th birthday musical concert called Prema Pravaham. So as I leave you, I'm going to play a song, the first one from this CD or this product called Prema Pravaham that we have put together, so that generations to come can actually witness for themselves this spectacle of love and grace and beauty and divinity called Prema Pravaham. The first song that I will play for you, and the only song because time is running out, is called Jagatiki. Jagatiki from Prema Pravaham till we meet next Thursday. Jai Sai Ram.
संकेतमयी जगति की संदेशमयी सुगति की संकेतमयी समता ममता नवतला समता ममता नवतला त्रिवेणी संगममयी उपुंगुचु प्रवहि ప్రవహించెను ప్రేమ ప్రవాహం ప్రేమ ప్రవాహం ఇదే ఇదే సత్య సాయి దివ్య ప్రభావం
ప్రాభవం. రోగాటిని తీర్చుచు దాహాటిని బాపుచు విద్యాటిని విజ్ఞానిగా సుజ్ఞానిగా మార్చుచు రోగాటిని తీర్చుచు దాహాటిని బాపుచు విద్యాటిని విజ్ఞానిగా సుజ్ఞానిగా మార్చుచు కులమత భేదాల కూల్చి మానవతను పండించగల కులమత భేదాల కూల్చి మానవతను పండించగల ఉప్పొంగుచు ప్రవహించెను ప్రేమ ప్రవహించను ప్రేమ